Chapter 17. The Confession. Walter Hartwright continues the story.
At 4 o'clock in the morning, Fosco finished writing. I read his confession. I was staying with my friend Sir Percival Glyde at his home at Blackwater Park. Sir Percival and I owed a lot of money. Lady Glyde refused to sign a document agreeing to pay our debts out of her own money. As Lady Glyde wouldn't help her husband, I thought of a plan to get her money. Sir Percival agreed to the plan, and with the help of my dear wife, the following events took place. 1. My wife, Eleanor Fosco, followed Anne Catherick and Mrs. Wesley to London and found out where they lived. 2. My wife and I moved Miss Hulcombe, who was ill, to an old part of the house and brought a nurse to take care of her. Miss Hulcombe was kept hidden there from Lady Laura Glyde. 3. My wife and I moved to our house in London. 4. I sent an anonymous message to Anne Catherick, telling her that Lady Glyde wanted to meet her, and I gave her my address. When Anne arrived at my house and discovered that she had been tricked, she became very ill. My wife and I told the servants and the doctor who saw Anne that she was Lady Glyde. She died the next morning on July the 25th. 5. Sir Percival tricked Lady Glyde into taking the train to London by telling her that her sister had gone to Limeridge. As there isn't a direct train to Limeridge, Lady Glyde would have to go to London first. 6. I met Lady Glyde at the station in London and told her Marion was still staying with me. I drugged her and took her to the asylum, where I told them that she was Anne Catherick. 7. My wife and I wrote to Mr. Fairley and Miss Hulcombe, telling them that Lady Glyde was dead. 8. My wife, Eleanor, and Sir Percival inherited Lady Glyde's money, which we used to pay back the money we owed. Count Fosco. Satisfied that the confession was complete, I folded it up and put it in my pocket. Next, Fosco gave me a letter he had received from Sir Percival. The letter informed Fosco of the date of Lady Glyde's journey to London, July the 26th. According to Lady Glyde's death certificate, she died in London on July the 25th. I now had proof that Laura was still alive. She didn't arrive in London until July the 26th, and therefore was still alive on July the 25th. As Fosco had requested, I wrote a letter to Pesca, telling him that Fosco had given me what I wanted, and I gave the letter to Fosco's servant.
"Now leave my house before I change my mind and shoot you," shouted Fosco, who was quickly packing some papers into a suitcase.
I left, annoyed that Fosco would go unpunished for his crimes, but happy that I had his confession. Although Fosco and Sir Percival had used all Laura's money, she would now be able to live without the fear of being captured and sent back to the asylum. Now everyone would know that Laura was alive. I went back quickly to our flat to tell Laura and Marion the good news. Mr. Gilmore came with us to Limeridge to tell Mr. Fairley about the fraud against his niece. Mr. Fairley complained that the news was too much for his nerves and asked us to leave his room so that he could recover. An announcement was made to the servants and to the people in the village that Laura was alive. Now that Laura had recovered from the events of the past year, she looked herself again. Everyone was amazed to see her. People cheered and came up to her to shake her hand and wish her well. I visited the new grave next to Mrs. Fairley's and asked the stonecutter to erase Laura's name from the grave. He then engraved the following words: Anne Catherick, July the 25th, 1850. After this had been done, we returned to London to enjoy our new freedom. Marion came to live with us too.